There's really just a lot going on. But the funny thing is that something about me, people just assume that I have nothing going on, that I just sit home all day and do nothing with my time. Like, certainly, you just sit in this little room and you don't do anything because you just do OF and you do all this stuff and you know, you just must be. David, this episode is cursed already. David, start it from me telling you that this episode is f cursed. Let's go. Yeah? Not gonna play the song. We're just not gonna play the song. We're just not gonna play it. We're just not gonna play the song. So what you're telling me is that we're just not gonna play the song. Oh my God, it's muted. Curses upon ye. No. Three, two, one, go!
I get paid to take my clothes off, but here I bear it all for free. Welcome to the totally wholesome, not dirty podcast where sex work meets self-work and we laugh through the chaos one.
People think I have nothing going on. Welcome back to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast. As you may or may not have heard, I don't know what David let slip through the cracks of this edit because it's going to be a wacky one. This episode is already cursed, so I have no idea how it's going to go, except that I know we're going to get through it together. So we're going to start by taking a deep breath. Pass out so that you don't have to deal with all the shit that's going on. Because man, whew, there is a lot of shit going on. But unfortunately, the only thing that you can usually do in these situations of extreme distress is really just close your eyes and try to breathe through it. You know what I'm saying? That's a little dark to start off, but that's okay. All right, so we're gonna get right into it because lo and behold, surprise, surprise. I'm wearing period panties. I don't know what to tell you. I look disgusting. I don't really care, but my makeup looked kind of cute. But then I saw myself in the mirror and it kind of looked a little haunted. And I was like, I don't know if haunted is really the vibe that I want to bring to this episode, but this episode is haunted. I think maybe I'm the one who brought the vibe with the eye makeup going on because I have not been wearing makeup because I've had the situation where my dog nearly like KO'd my back, so I haven't been able to train properly. I haven't been able to rollerblade like I want to. Like, it's just been this constant stress of a situation. But here's the thing, because I haven't been able to do very much, what I have been doing is reaching the end of book two. Nope.
I get paid to take my clothes off.
Maybe I should just quit now. Here's the thing. Okay, so there's just been a lot going on, and as y'all will have realized from 2 weeks ago now, by the time that you're hearing this, we've also switched the podcast date. There's just been a lot of changes happening, and it's something that is like completely unavoidable. Something inside me, ever since like March hit, has just been like, everything is changing now. And if it's not changing, it needs to change. Here's all these things that are bothering me, and I'm going to change them right here, right now. So if you guys end up hearing some sort of sounds, if the cameras do end up, or the cameras, if the microphones end up picking up some of the sound, I have my contractor like ripping through my bedroom right now. Because so there was this situation with like this bird, and it was really loud, and it was rattling down through this thing. So I don't know what came over me, but one day I was staring at that little green wall that I have. And if you've ever, you know, enjoyed any of my other content, you know, the green wall, it's been there for like 4 or 5 years now. And I looked at it and I was just like, I just want to rip it all down. I just want to tear it all down. I hate how the bed looks. I hate how the green looks. I hate that it's too dusty and I can't really get to the very top of it, and that the green doesn't fully even extend to the ceiling. It's a whole thing. And I just looked around me and I was like, I wish that I had a shovel to just start like breaking everything in this room. And I did not do that. Instead, I moved things out of the room so that it could be broken appropriately, because sometimes I feel, you know, often, I very often throughout my life have had this feeling of like everything needs to implode so that something else can spur from the ashes. I'm very like burn like the phoenix. Like that's kind of just my path in life, and I accept it at this point. Apparently, you know, getting all into this woo-woo shit, apparently that's just my arc. I don't know what to tell you. That's just what Scorpios do. Do you love the pod? Of course you do. Do you love ads? Not so much. Do you want to prove how much you love the pod? Then join us ad-free on patreon.com/twndpodcast. Every tier of support gets you day early releases and ad-free enjoyment. The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If you want the full VIP experience, join any of our dirtbag tiers, which also gives you access to skits, photo sets, bonus episodes, and monthly Zoom chats where we sit down, reflect, share, and more. You'll also have access to Thought Takes, a mini show where I strip down and go in hard with rantisodes. What are you waiting for? Join us and be a dirtbag at patreon.com/twndpodcast. It's disgusting. Like I've just become so woo-woo and like on my own and just like feeding my own delusions. But it's been great, because here's the thing. The whole getting back to finishing book two, this is like, don't fear, because this is the last episode for at least a couple weeks, at least maybe a month or two, that y'all are not going to have to hear me talk about a book that you can't know about. Because when I close on the end of book two, I am taking a break from writing, because I just need to. I need to reset, and I need to like get back into other areas of my life that I've been neglecting, like primarily, you know, fresh content, collabs, all that kind of stuff, because I've just had such a selfish year of like sitting in on my own, taking care of everything on my own, shooting my own content, not making as many new releases, focusing more on customs, focusing more on DM, so that I could actually like have like, here's DM, here's book, da la la, da la la. And this is me, like all day, every day, da la la la, da la la. My fingers, I'm gonna get carpal tunnel, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And now that I'm like reaching the end of it, I'm so excited, and I'm at that point, and I know that I talked on the episode with Sophia and Jonathan about like not wanting things to end, but what I've kind of realized is it is like a cool point that I'm at right now, because I'm reaching the end of this book, which isn't even where I thought. When I first started planning what the series was going to look like, as many of you know, I don't even know if I've talked about how many books it was going to be. Have I? I guess it doesn't really fucking matter. Like five people listen to the show, but it was only supposed to be like three books. And now I'm looking at like an endless series that I've just like crafted from the dark recesses of my mind, and taking all of these wild ass life experiences and putting it into something that's fantastical and digestible and potentially relatable to so many people. And for those that can't relate to certain aspects of it, there's also other pieces of my life and other pieces of my personality and interests that I've then been able to parse and put into other characters. And in like an effort to really understand or try to like understand and like study, I guess, people, this podcast has been like invaluable in that. It's allowed me the opportunity to kind of like sit with people on such a deep level that I don't normally get the opportunity to. And it's not that I seek it. Do you know what I mean? Which I could, I guess, seek it a lot more, but I'm just not much of a seeker. I'm kind of a like, I want things to reveal themselves to me. Does that make sense? I seek some things. It's not like I just don't seek anything. But as far as like human connection, it's one of the things that I've always kind of avoided a bit more. And not because I don't want it, but because I've had times in my life where I've wanted it so badly that it has been to my own detriment. Not more times than I can count, because I remember them all with vivid clarity. But it has been to my detriment. And that's something that I think I'm just kind of one of those people that just does typically operate better alone. And I know that I've talked about like this before, and it's not, once again, like the whole I don't like people. I love people. I'm fascinated by people, and especially by people that I can't relate to, because it's just so curious to me, and I like want to know why someone's brain works the way that it does. So I'm not saying that any of like my characters like crafted off of necessarily a podcast guest or anything like that, but as someone who is a performer who is typically talking to a camera of a mute audience, because like when you're a webcam model, right, it's like you're on stream for just hours and hours and hours and hours out of your day, and you're talking because you're engaging, you're entertaining, you're performing, you're talking to and having conversations with people who are in the chat room, but you're replying to text. I was like the first AI chatbot, like all of the cat models and streamers and stuff were, like, in a way, because it's like, oh, well, if I tip this, will you do this? And dance, monkey, dance. Like, and that's just kind of a lot of my interaction with people, which has typically worked very well for me, because I don't, and have it in the past, operated very well around people, because I start to, you know, I didn't used to question myself or like my personality or my interest, but like it's one of those things that the more you experience out of life, the more it kind of like beats you down a little bit. And, you know, I let that happen, and now I'm not that way. And life just goes through so many different cycles. And I think I'm at a very nice point in my cycle, but not my period cycle, unfortunately, because I wish that wasn't here right now. Oh, speaking of, I look like shit, but these dad jeans are really comfortable, and we have new merch, y'all. So if you go to, I think it is linked in the description, but if you go to dirtbagdepot.dashery.com, you can find a bunch of podcast merch. So you can get stuff with a logo on it. We have a new dirt bag logo as well. That's really cool. It's got like my little rollerblades and everything, and some Ken merch. And then of course the Sir Thriving t-shirt, and Sir Thriving is to live dramatically better than anyone expected, including yourself, Sir Thriving. I know that actually off the top of my head, but for some reason, when I see text, I'm like, wait, do I remember it correctly? And then I have to actually read it out loud. It's one of those things. Anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, so basically being able to have done this podcast for as many years as I have now, because I was telling someone the other day, it's been over 4 years, which is a significantly wild amount of time. Like, it's truly wild. And it's just, wow. It's so cool. And I've been so lucky to be able to figure out how to engage. Oh, that was the thing. Okay, so when you're performing to a camera versus talking to people mano a mano, like whatever, in person. So this has kind of helped me expand so much more in that way. Like, through the podcast, I've been so much more confident, like, talking to people out in the world, even like just like making phone calls. Exposure therapy, the podcast is it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that especially over the last year, as selfish as maybe people consider it to be, if I'm not like going out and having a social life or doing all of these things that I'm like supposed to be doing, or like, why are you doing more clubs? Why are you doing this? Because like, I'm being selfish, which I haven't done like ever. because I just have always thought that it's like my purpose in life to take care of everyone and fix all of their problems, just leave mine on the back burner because I love pain and I know how to deal with it. And these people don't know how to deal with their pain. And so maybe if I just shoulder some of their pain, then eventually someday when I feel comfortable enough to open up to them, then they'll accept my pain as some of their pain. And they'll, you know, or they definitely won't abandon me like everybody else has before, because I'm apparently the only loyal friend in the situation, because I you know, I just care too much. And, you know, maybe I did care too much, and then maybe I pushed them away, and maybe I'll just care less the next time. Oh, but I can't do that because, you know, then this person is an endless cycle, and I needed to shut it the f*** off. And that's all about me. Like, that's who I am. And I recognize that toxic trait in myself, where when I wrap myself up too much in people because I'm trying to push a friendship, a relationship, whatever, way too far. Hard because I'm just like, you know, still reeling from mommy issues that I should have resolved in therapy, and I basically have. And that's the funny thing about growth, dude, because I'm not going to apologize for this, because this is the way that I have gotten myself out of my truly abhorrent people-pleasing tendencies. And it's like, you know, it is that kind of quote of like, oh, you're a people-pleaser? How many people are pleased with you? Like, no one, no matter what I've done, you know. And this will actually lead us into, I think maybe why I'm thinking about this is because I kind of scanned one of your guys' emails before starting this. So I don't really know where this is going to go, but we're going to get into this a little bit because I did relate to this. I'm not going to play the video, as you mentioned. I just don't know if it's like okay to play someone's TikTok. I just don't know about like usability. So I will read it as you, I'll read your highlighted points. So this is, and it's Trey. Okay. So I assume since you signed your name, you're okay with people knowing Trey. And if not, let me know. And I can try to retroactively go back and get David to bleep this out, but I don't know if I pay him enough for that. So we'll see. So y'all, a quick thing before I get into it as well, because I know that some people are like nervous, shy, whatever, and you want to be anonymous. Just literally don't put your name, or put somewhere in like the email, like preferably like right at the top of the email, or even in like the subject line, don't use my name, or like make me anonymous, like make up a name, something, you know what I mean? Just and that way, boom, you can submit anything that you want, because I love y'all's emails and voicemails. All right. This is from Trey. So, hey, Molly, saw this video and it really hit hard. They describe a common neurodivergent fear, which is feeling like a burden who only adds stress to others, worsened by harmful messaging. And they believe many autistic / ADHD people share it. Interested in what the lighthouse keeper has to say. that's great. Oh, the lighthouse keeper. All right. So here's the transcript. If you can't show it, I highlighted what I think are the main points, which is great because this is all, I can't read anything that's not highlighted because it's literally the same color as the background of my email box. Okay, hang on. So the fear of being a burden, that's a big one that I think a lot of autistic people probably relate to. It's actually written in some paperwork about how autistic people are a burden, that their being a burden will impact their family, et cetera, et cetera. Awful, awful, horrible stuff. And I think we feel that very deeply. We feel broken. I think a lot of autistic ADHD people do that whole, I don't bring anything good to anyone's life, like mantra, like that. All I ever think about is more stress, you know, to friends and family. That it doesn't matter how nice I try to be or how helpful I try to be, but ultimately the net gain is purely negative. I bring people down, I make people stressed, I make people tired, people get fed up with me. I think that many neurodivergent people will feel that we are just bothersome. Yeah. and I say this like, and I never, here's the thing, like I know that everyone is like, a TikTok therapist now, and we're all just like diagnosing ourselves. So I never want to be like offensive to anyone who is actually diagnosed with like ADHD, autism. Like, I just think that so many of us were never diagnosed, or that they tried to diagnose us and our parents were like, not my child. Like, they tried to diagnose me, and then my parents pulled me out and homeschooled me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, no, there's nothing wrong with our child. We'll just homeschool her instead, and we'll make her learn everything on her own because she is very skilled, she is very capable, she is so mature for her age, she can figure it out. To me, that just screams a little bit of the dism, just a touch. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, but also, it's like, well, they tried to say that it was like ADD or ADHD or whatever, but as we come to learn more with things like the diagnoses and all of that, like, apparently girls were much, much more often misdiagnosed with something like ADHD or ADD and, like, not with autism because of the whole masking thing and how especially girls are expected to, like, put on this whole face, like, for the people just like me happy all the time. Like, look at me. I'm just a girl. I'm just a girl. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not, like, a raging maniac inside. I am. I'm crazy. I'm insane. I'm unhinged. And that's just who I am. That's something about me. And, yes, I think that that is bothersome to a lot of people who are not comfortable with who they are. And I think that the whole being drained socially by people as someone whose brain operates like this is more indicative of where I was in my acceptance of myself. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone else. It makes sense to me. But with the whole, like, masking thing, masking is exhausting. It's truly exhausting to just, like, pretend that you care about the most mundane things, or that, like, someone saying something doesn't bother you or isn't hurtful, and you just keep, like, pushing it down and bottling it up and doing this because you don't say that, and you don't just say what it is that you're thinking or, you know, what you mean, because then you drive people away and then you're gonna end up alone. What are you gonna do if you end up alone? And you don't want to be alone, because that's, like, the worst possible thing that could ever happen, is God forbid that you enjoy spending time around yourself without the judgment of everyone else around you, because they all can't stand to be around themselves. If you can't spend a day alone without getting depressed as fuck, I have news for you. You're not working on yourself. You're trying to appease all these different people around you, because honestly, the less that I try to fit into all of these different boxes that everyone keeps making, like, I don't give a fuck if I'm ADHD. I don't care if I'm ADD or AUHD, autism, what, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. If I know how my brain works, if I know how I see the world, if I know the things that I do and can do and the time that I can spend around people and everything that makes me comfortable, and if I'm okay with who I am as a person, and if I can recognize the areas in my life that need improvement, what does it matter what my diagnosis is or what people think of that? Like, you have to know yourself. And I think that, you know, now it's not that, you know, I'm a big social butterfly, but I also don't get nearly as drained being around people anymore, because I'm very authentically myself. And if that bothers people, then I don't want to be around them. So if I make you uncomfortable or you're bothered by me and you want to, like, go to another room, or if you want to leave a venue, or if you don't want to ever talk to me again, great. I've just saved us both years of time for nothing. Like, I've just saved you so much time. You should be thanking me. You should be getting down on your knees and thanking me for saving you from the emotional nuclear fallout that is, like, relationships, friendships imploding, because we just saved everything, because we were just authentically ourselves. I was me, you showed that bothered you, and now we can just walk away and we don't have to, there has to be nothing between us ever again. And how cool is that? And then I'm not drained because I wasn't, like, wearing somebody else's face that I thought that you wanted me to be, to form this faux pas relationship with you that would, you know, ultimately get us nowhere. So here's the thing. It's not a net negative thing to have an interaction with me when I'm not masking. Do you want to know why? Because we're saving ourselves the time. We're saving ourselves the trouble. And I used to feel like this. I used to feel like, God, I am such a burden. God, I am so fucking bothersome. And the more that I started to spend time on my own and realize like how many things that I was doing for other people constantly, and it's not saying that I don't ever do anything for other people or that I don't enjoy doing things for people, but so much time and effort was put into situations that were never, it's like I even knew in my head. So at that point, I'm just like performing for what? Like, I'm paying money to perform. I'm putting you on my like Christmas gift mailing list so that, you know, I can make sure that I was the one who did send something that was perfectly curated to you, because I do know you really well, even though you never, you know, call me or check in on me or invite me to anything unless you need something from me. But don't worry, because I'll be that one person who's always there. No wonder I was depressed. No wonder I was feeling like a burden, because I was spread thinner than, you know, the last. Do you know what I was like? I was like that piece of toast at a Holiday Inn Continental buffet, and those little pats of butter that are for some reason so cold that you could put one between your ass cheeks for 2 hours, and when you pull it out, it's still going to be a brick. And I'm the toast. When you take that butter with that plastic little knife and you just start trying to scrape it over, and then just got a little bit more, and bits of me are flying off everywhere. There's a hole ripped right down my middle. Like, the butter is just like still in a brick. It's picking up little pieces of my little bread flesh, and it's just a truly disgusting, horrific affair. And by the time that you look at what you've done to that brutalized piece of bread, you're just like, ooh, that doesn't even look appetizing. And then you like don't even eat it. You take a little nibble and you, I was letting people do that and then get nibbled on and tossed to the side. Like, no wonder. But I don't do that anymore. And guess how much happier I am? It's crazy. So I highly recommend it, because if you're spreading yourself too thin, I know I've said it before, but like, I was talking to this, I had this weird situation. And if she hears this, because I didn't even know that you followed me on Instagram, I thought that we just kind of like, we're, you know, two ships in the sea. I mean, I'm not a ship. I know I'm a lighthouse now, but at the time I thought we were two ships in the sea and just kind of like passing. Maybe we were like stars in the sky. We're just kind of like, hey, from over there, I've burned out here ages ago. I've burned out over here. We can see each other twinkling across the cosmos. Like, how beautiful is that? And then to find, I have always said that I never know anyone from junior high, high school. My best old ex best friend, girl, if you listen to this, I'm sorry, it's nothing, I don't even know how to like address people from my past, because I don't have people from my past. So to have you show up like a ghost, I don't know where, it was crazy. But just thinking about like all of these life changes, I don't remember where I was going with that, because it just like threw me for a loop again. Oh, I was talking about it, you know, with her actually, because I think we all have bad habits and breaking them is hard. That's where Fume comes in. You've probably heard about Fume, but you might not know what it is. Fume is a flavored air device. No smoke, no batteries, just a beautiful reminder to breathe easy. So if you have a bad habit that you're trying to turn into a good one, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND to get a discount on your Journey Starter Pack. That's actually what Fume sent over to me to give a little taste test. And currently I am, well, not puffing on because there's no smoke, but I am breathing Peach Blush, which is actually, see, no smoke, a delicious flavor that I am very excited to be sipping on, as it were. I'm definitely trying to break a few bad habits of my own this year, and I think that Fume is a great place to start with that. I am an oral fixation girly. I always have to have something in my mouth. I was chewing on my fingernails for ages, and other bad habits that we don't want to talk about. So if you want to join me on my journey to quit a bad habit and also help support the show that you love so very much, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND and let me know your experience, because I am excited to turn my bad habit into a good one with Fume. Tryfume.com/TWND. Get Soul. Go to GetSoul.com and use code TWND to save 30% on your order. You can find a nice variety of different beverages, gummies. They have sleep gummies. They have Big Brain Soul gummies with a little bit of caffeine. They're tangerine and they're so yummy. And you can stress less. You can stress less by going to GetSoul.com and using code TWND to save 30% on your order. Because she was saying something similar about how, like, I feel like I'm always the loyal friend who would do, like, anything for you. Like, give you the shirt off my back. Like, I would just do anything I possibly could to be a good friend to you. And then the minute that I need them, where are they? Where is anyone? Where are all these people that I was, like, you know, building up on these pedestals to help? And it's not like, and by saying, like, building up on pedestals, I don't mean like, oh, I was, like, giving this person all their value, but I was attributing a lot of value to these people. And it's not that those people don't have value. It's, you understand what I'm trying to say, and you can try to twist this whatever weird way that you want to. And if that's what you're doing right now, you're one of those people that was cut off. So enjoy your mental gymnastics, try to stretch, or you might pull your back like I did. Not from doing mental gymnastics, but no, that was my dog trying to kill me. She's really cool. So the thing with people who see the world in the ways that we do, and I know that Trey, you're similar in some ways like this as well. People like us just kind of find each other. And I think that broken people, and I say broken as the term of, like, how other people see us because of things that we have been through, or even people who have felt broken, people who have, you know, like, what is it called? Like kintsugi? Is it kintsugi or kintsugi? It's like the Japanese art of, like, putting broken pottery back together by fusing it together with gold. And that's how I see people who are, you know, working through whatever their own individual trauma may be. And I'm not laughing at, like, the idea of trauma, but I mean, kind of, that's just, like, my reaction. Like, when I think about, like, when I had that little thought, for instance, and let me just give you a little foray into my brain. When I had the thought about the broken pottery and how many chips, I just started laughing. Cause I was thinking, like, damn, how many pieces would my kintsugi bowl be put into? Like, there would be a lot of gold mixed into all of the little pieces of that I have, like, broken and fixed and rebroken and picked up and shattered all over again along the way. And how beautiful is that, to be able to have those experiences? But I think that people who are healing from the things that tried to break them, I think that people who are going through things that are currently fracturing them, I think that all of those kind of people have, we find each other. And it's kind of like, you know, like calls to like. And it's just this kind of sense that you have about people that other people can't relate to. They can try, and they can listen, and they can try to dissect, and they can give you all of the best advice in the world, or whatever they perceive to be the best advice. But people who have truly gone through shit, and whether that's, like, family shit, whether it's domestic violence, sexual violence, like, there's so many different things, like war, people who have fought in wars, like, there is so much dismay in the world. There are so many people who have had just truly horrific things happen to them and then had both the pain and the joy of living through those things. And some people don't. And some people don't have the ability to get through those things. And that's like just makes me emotional just like thinking about it, dude, because like the amount of times that when I think I've had this conversation with other friends who have been through some shit, and you just start thinking of like, there were so many times that in the butterfly effect, I didn't make it. There are so many instances that I've gone back and thought about, like, oh, well, when this happened, a chapter ended in my book. But in a different world, in a different reality, in a different fold of the universe, the whole book ended there. The whole series ended there. And that was so many times. And a lot of people have that too, just like on a day-to-day basis, and have no idea, because it has nothing even necessarily to do with trauma. It's just like, oh, you were in the right place at the right time. And, you know, 2 seconds later, it would have been the wrong place at the right time for this horrible thing to happen. Like, and I think that people who live through things like having your family, like, call you a burden or treat you as such, or to have all of these relationships fracture, or to have someone that you thought loved you like beat you up physically, emotionally, you have people who you want to give so much to, and as soon as you ask, not even ask, but as soon as you like, you just stop the flow of what they're giving, like, hey, pause. I need to refuel myself. I need to reset my balance. And then they leave. I think that people who feel broken, have felt broken, or are working through being broken are just attracted to each other because we have an understanding that other people don't. Because if you've never been, and I'm not talking about like fun sex games, if you've never been on the receiving end of a hit from someone who is supposed to be like everything, like that's your person, right? If you've never been on the receiving end of that, if you've never had someone that you loved twist and warp every perception that you had of yourself until you don't even know what you looked like anymore. Sometimes I look back at photos of myself from those time periods. And I had this moment the other day because I have gained a little bit of weight, like just not being able to work out because of the back, but also just because I put on weight overall with muscle because I've been doing a lot of like very heavy lifting. And that's not why I hurt my back for people who are, I need to say this. So I'll explain the whole back thing later. I can't just relax. And that's what that boils down to. But I look back at those photos and there was this one photo and I was wearing like this oversized kind of like orange sweater or something and these like skinny jeans. And this was from a time period that I remember as like what I called my fattest, my thickest, my heaviest years. I've got a gap that you could ride a bicycle through between my thighs, dude. It's crazy. My face looks like kind of like a little sunken, but I still have like my baby face because it was like I was like 26 probably or something like that. And I looked just like all sharp edges. It was, and to know what I thought of myself during that time of my life, like it just gave me, it didn't cure my body dysmorphia, but it did for like 5 minutes. Like it was a moment where I was like, damn, your perception can really just completely change. it's just a matter of actually like working all the time to make it change. It's like the whole I've stopped, well, not stopped, because you know you still have your habits that you're trying to break through, but I've definitely tried to get myself out of super negative talking, which is like, oh, you're just a boo. Well, I'm sorry, but it works, because the more positivity that you inject into your life, and you literally have to inject it. I know I've talked about this on other episodes. You have to look for the happiness. You have to find the joy. You have to search for it. You have to seek it. You have to grasp it. You have to hold on to it. You have to find it. And I forgot where I was going with that, because I started reading my sticky notes in the background. Oh, God. Someday I wonder if I will reveal all of these sticky notes, or sometimes I just have a thought and I just write it down. I really should just keep a little notebook, because of course nothing is as profound as I'm sure it feels like in the time. But I think it's nice to have those thoughts to go back through. I've actually been most nights lately writing just whatever thoughts I have right before bed in a journal, and I do it all in cursive so that it's really hard for other people to read, but I know how to read it, and I think that cursive is really beautiful, and I think it's a lost art, to be honest. And there's something that just feels like really fantastical. You know what? It's whimsical to write by candlelight in a composition notebook that has skulls all over it, and to just pen my thoughts in the evening. And I even write like that. Like, I write like perchance. because it's just fun, and why not inject the whimsy into life? Because Lord knows nobody else is going to do it for you. There's nothing that normies like more than trying to beat the whimsical out of you. not physically, although, I mean, let's be honest, you know, they've done it physically over the years too. But it's just God, why do you believe in the, they just want to take the joy. It's just do you not know how to create any joy of your own? I think that's what it boils down to for a lot of people. Maybe that's why people are so miserable. I don't know. I know that not everybody is some big creative mastermind, but you can't tell me that your only joy in life comes from trying to tread on everybody else's dreams. How miserable must you be? Though I guess it's kind of rule 34. If you can think of it, there's a porn of it. And if you can think of it, there's a person like it. And that's a wild thing to think about, because there really are so many of us in the world, huh? Yeah, it's crazy. That is the interesting thing too about writing characters that feel very alive, is I don't want what I write to feel flat or to feel like it only has one view, because obviously I think my views on the world is pretty sick, but I know that it's also not everyone's. So I'm also trying to get into this mindset of really creating character profiles, not only for the main core group, but even smaller, not as central characters, because I think that it makes the world feel more alive, and that it does make the world feel fuller, and then it also leaves opportunity for other stories to evolve in the future from a completely different viewpoint or mindset of somebody else within this whatever that I've created. And I think that it also is helpful when I go back and I read through and I'm all right, well, this person obviously wouldn't say this, because it's always putting those expectations on other people. Because even when you're writing a character, not everybody is going to be the protagonist, because I think that typically, obviously, the protagonist is usually most like the author in a lot of ways, especially maybe more early writing when you're kind of finding that voice, I think. But obviously, I don't know how everybody's writing style is completely different, of course, and not everybody's even writing fiction. So, but I think that for me, at least, I'll let you guys in on that. There is more, obviously, of me and the protagonist than the other characters. But I think that also I've taken pieces of myself to put in all these characters, because I want to, it's like things that I've noticed and experienced like through other people that I'm like, okay, here's things that come very easily for me about this character. And then here are the things that are harder for me to conceptualize and visualize and try to make the reader visualize through words, because I'm still having trouble unpacking this character. But I think that what's interesting about that is that as a reader, you're kind of seeing it through the lens of the protagonist, seeing where they relate to these people, trying to figure out how to do it. And then the more that you open up that, the more you're opening up the character that you're trying to relate to as well, because it just creates this huge, like, infinite bubble of everything. Just kind of like, it's like when you start a pot boiling, right? And you get like the couple little bubbles underneath, and that's like everybody's little personality. You're creating all these little characters, and then it's like, well, then the middle starts getting even bigger, and that's, you know, trying to branch out from here. And then before you know it, the whole pot is just like boiling and overflowing everywhere. And that's sometimes having dialogue stretches with this many characters that I'm currently writing right now. It's just madness. And then you're trying to make sure that everybody's getting their point to talk, and then you're kind of also recognizing which characters are more likely to speak in a certain situation, and you're kind of like forming this hierarchy within the book itself, because you have learned that hierarchy from interacting with the people around you and having those human experiences. And that is why, like, I think that, you know, having all of those rebirths and all of those restarts and all of those burn it to the grounds and all of those friendships that you thought would last forever and they fizzled out in weeks, months, years, doesn't matter. Most of them are just gone. And that's the experience, because you're not...
Honey, what does it make you think of? Sweet, delicious, sticky, licking it off your partner? If you want to have fun with a special friend or are someone who loves self-pleasure, Honey Playbox has the toys for you. Use our code TWND to save 15% on your purchase. Amp up your playtime at honeyplaybox.com. You deserve pleasure, so elevate your experience with Honey Playbox and support our show by using code TWND at checkout. Watching podcasts is fun. Watching reruns, also fun. But nothing beats a live experience. Check out our friends at Jerkmate by going to jkmte.com/TWND. Every sign up helps our show. Don't jerk alone. Get your front row seat to live events. Try a gold show from the comfort of your couch. Check the show description or go to jkmte.com/TWND to try it out.
That's what living is. It's like to the heights, to the depths, to the windows, to the walls, to the sweat runs down your goddamn balls, because that is the point of life, I think, at least for me, is to experience as much of it as possible so that I have a better understanding and a better grasp of the world and the people around me and the people that I haven't met yet, and so that I have that ability to... Because, you know, like, I can sit with the pain, I can sit with this, and you know what that welcomes in is more pain. Because it's like with my back, it's like, oh, I can't just do nothing, but I have to keep moving, I have to do slow, I have to figure out different ways to, you know, make something not hurt or to get, you know, through whatever situation you're doing. And I think that having all of those different obstacles and having all those things that I thought were surefire not pan out didn't really prepare me for disappointment. It's more led me to a point now that I'm like, well, if something isn't working out or if something, you know, explodes essentially, then that's just what was meant to happen. And I'll figure out why at some point. I'll figure out like what lesson that taught me or what path that led me down. In the moment, you're not going to see it, but years, months, even sometimes weeks, sometimes days it happens. Sometimes it's like a really quick turnaround and you're like, damn, I'm really glad that, you know, I got the answer now instead of having to, like, you know, go through 5 years of some to look back and realize, oh, that's why that happened. But more often than not, it's not instant gratification. It is like years of like, well, why didn't this work out? But instead of looking at like, oh, why didn't this, just be like, it did. Now what? Because there's no like going back and changing that. And typically also for me, I'm just one of the people that if if a friendship, if a relationship, it doesn't work out, like, oh, I'm friends with my exes. Really? Okay. Fun for you. Not for me. No, I'm a bridge burner. And that's just a little bit, that's a little bit of something about me. And I'm just kind of like, I don't find the need to revisit things that I already know don't work, because by the time that I feel something has truly ended for me, I've thought about it to death. I've analyzed the f- out of it, and I spend time after still analyzing, still figuring it out. And when it comes down to that, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, here I already know all the reasons why it happened. So here's what I've learned from it, and what I don't need to revisit that. It's a lesson that I've already learned. And if it comes knocking again, I'm just going to make sure that my door is closed and just, you know, really test that lock to make sure the deadbolt is nice and tight, because I just don't feel the need to, you know, continue what's been proven to be a failure. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, some people are all about that, like, redemption arc. But for me, I'm all about, like, the revenge arc. You know what I mean? But that's just Scorpio things. Because we're always out here, sir, thriving. So I think that we will end this rant-isode with the final email. Because we do have a follow-up email. And I'm not, you didn't say your name last time when you wrote in about wanting to go give the massage. So I'm not going to read your name this time, even though it has been written in the body of the email, because you did not specify if you would like it to be anonymous or not. So just let me know next time, if there is next time. Hi, Molly. Thank you for replying to my email about my erotic massage fantasy. I found your reaction funny, as it was very matter of fact. Do it if you want, but I don't understand why you would do it. So let me explain. That was very much my reply. I was like, all right. I watched your podcast 3 days after doing the deed. Ooh. I went into a gay bar called The George in Dublin and walked up to a guy who looked out of place. I offered the service and he accepted. Went to my hotel room, and I won't go into full details, but I used my skills from my massage course in Thailand 20 years ago. 20 years ago to hold on to a skill is truly impressive. I'm very proud of you. Sorry, that was not, that was me. That was not written. Okay. I have, and finished them off using my self-acquired skills. That's so good. I like the massage I had lessons in, but the handy, that was all me. I have to say, giving a man an explosive orgasm felt like an achievement. I won't do it again, but it felt addictive. That's what they always say. That's what they always say. Well, I wouldn't do it again, but ooh, it just felt so good to be naughty. Then, if you do it again, don't be surprised. He offered me 100 euros, but I didn't take it in case I got addicted. Oh, it's so funny. First one not free in this case. Not sure if these stories interest you, but thought I would share. Keep doing the podcasts. We'll call him the let's call you George. That is so cool. Well, I'm glad that you had that experience, and it's good to, you're recognizing these things about yourself. You're like, well, if I accept this money, that I'm going down a rabbit hole that I'm not sure that I'm prepared to tumble down, Alice. And I understand that, and I respect that. So should you have more of those experiences? Yes. Please always write in, share as much as you're comfortable with, and let me know if you want me to ever use your name or not. And to anyone who writes in, please just know that I do a lot of solo episodes. I do love having guests, but definitely, as y'all know, I've gone much more to solo. And I love knowing that people are actually listening and like relating to things that I do talk about. Or if you have questions about anything, if you have stories that you want to share about like relationship problems, like family issues, like some drama, some crazy, give me a story if you have them. Like, I want to hear everything, because I am so fascinated by people, and especially the people who would be interested enough to hear something that I have to say, which is fucking crazy that anyone wants to ever. So I think that your homework for these next 2 weeks should definitely be leaving a submission to the podcast if you've ever listened before. And also leaving comments on Spotify, I do believe is also very helpful for reach as well. So if y'all wouldn't mind leaving comments on episodes on Spotify, on YouTube, leaving like ratings, that would be super awesome too. 5 stars, hopefully. That'd be really cool. Sharing with a friend, all of that. But if you want to share literally any story, if you have any question, if it's interesting enough, I will put it on the show. So you can email twndpodcast@gmail.com. And you can send voicemails to 702-900-6446. This has been the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty Podcast. And, well, by the time the next episode comes out, I'll have finished 2 books. Let's go.
I get paid to take my clothes off, but here I bear it all for free. Welcome to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty Podcast, where sex work meets self-work, and we laugh through the chaos one. Brush it off, let it go. Hey, baby, lately I embrace everything.